Can I just say, I absolutely love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. I love the trimmings. I love the Christmas meal, though it can be very, very stressful when you're trying to get everything together in the oven at the same time and on the table just in time. I love the decorations. I love the lights. I love the presents. I have to admit, we are that really, really sad family that puts up their Christmas tree in November. Yes, we do. We put it in November. We put it in mid-November, not in early November. That's a bit of a bone of contention in our household. I'm for early November. My wife is for mid-November. And I can understand her concern, because if she was to cave into early November, I'm going to be asking for late October next year, which wouldn't quite work in our household. As you can imagine, you know, we have some good conversations in our household. I describe them as robust conversations in our household. Suffice to say, my wife always wins, and I always, where is she? She's somewhere in the house, isn't she? Just making sure. But I always lose. But clearly there are more and more important factors why I love Christmas so much. In this Advent season, we're celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and the relevance of his birth to our own lives and our own future and our own eternal future. And what better passage to consider than the passage that we've just heard read by Vinod from the Gospel of John in the Bible. But for many, this passage that we've just listened to brings somewhat of a challenge. Why? Because it makes a series of huge claims about Jesus Christ. It says in the beginning that Jesus was God, that Jesus is God, and that through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Very, very, very strong statements in a world with very differing opinions about who Jesus is. You know, for many people, Jesus is a prophet. He's not God. For many people, Jesus is a wise man, or Jesus is a miracle worker, and that's where they stop. But the claims that are being made in this passage is that Jesus is God. But it doesn't just stop there. The passage subsequently moves on to say that God in Jesus intervened in history to bring light where there is darkness. And so we hear of God limiting himself, God taking on human flesh, God becoming a baby, so that all this light could flood into the world through Jesus Christ where there is darkness. You know, but what is the significance of this light? And what is the significance of this darkness? Well, it's really easy to explain the darkness, isn't it? You only need to look around you, and there's conflict, and there's violence, and there's crime, and there's oppression. You know, sadly, the news is full of bad news stories, isn't it? And so we do see darkness all around us. But not just around us, because who of us can say that we're never selfish? Oh, I can think of countless times when I've shown selfishness and greed and failed to express mercy and generosity to people. You know, darkness is most certainly visible in the world and sometimes in our own hearts as well. But what of this light that is also spoken about in this Bible text? It says that Jesus is the light, and that he came to shine his light upon the world and into our hearts. In other words, Christ came to bring transformation through his light. He came to overturn darkness, to dispel darkness, to dethrone darkness, to flood his light into our lives, that we might be a transformed people, that we might be people of light, that we might be people that seek to bless other people. And so this passage is making some serious claims. It's saying that Jesus is God, that Jesus came to bring light, and that believing in him will enable us to enjoy the light, but also to become children of God. The question is, with all these claims that are being made in this passage, you know, what is our response to what we have heard today? You know, do we dismiss it? Do we put blind faith in it? I want to suggest a different approach. This is what it says in Psalm 34 from the Bible. Taste and see that the Lord is good. In other words, we are invited to explore for ourselves if what the Bible says about Jesus Christ is absolutely real. You know, how do we explore for ourselves if Jesus is God? Quite simple. You ask God Almighty to reveal himself to you. You know, if God is real and God cares and God loves, then he is a God who is to be experienced. And sometimes to experience him and to know the truth of all he is, all we need to do is to open our hearts and say, God, if you are real, would you show up? And I know this to be an absolute truth because I didn't always have a faith in Jesus Christ. You know, most of you will know my story. I used to be a property trader. My life was consumed with money. But then back in 2008, my son became critically ill and ended up in St. Thomas's Hospital. He was wired up to a machine. He was basically in an induced coma as they were trying to work out what was going on with him. I remember the consultant saying on the fourth day, your son is not going to be opening his eyes anytime soon. It was like one of those conversations that was preparing us for the worst. And yet, what resonated was the fact that there was this Christian couple that prayed for him. Oh, the consultant said one thing, but an hour later, my son was sitting up in bed, pulling away all the wires. And after all the elation and joy, you ask the question to the medical staff, how can this be? And they turn around to me and they say, it can't be. See, I'd seen God's miraculous intervention in my son's life. And so now my heart was more open to this Jesus that they had been praying to. And so I read a few things. I read this book, The Case for Christ. I went to church to see for myself if there was any truth in Jesus Christ. And God showed up. Because the third Sunday that I went to church, I had an experience as I walked in. And a few weeks later, as I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I left the church, and my wife said to me some months later that in that moment, in that second, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, she didn't recognize me anymore. She reckoned about 90% of my character changed in a moment. That's the reality and the power of God by just having a heart that is slightly open, because my heart wasn't wide open, but I was open that day when I went into church. You see, for years I had chased money and it had consumed me, and I was in a very, very dark place. But that moment when I accepted Christ, I encountered the light of Christ flood into my life, into the very, very dark areas of my life. And so I left church a different man, and I pray that I'll continue to be a different man till the day that I depart. This is what the psalmist says. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. And so my encouragement to you is this. Enjoy the Christmas parties and the family gatherings and the feasting, but also look to the more important story of Christmas, because in Jesus, God has come near. He has come to bring light into our lives, into the very dark areas of our world. He came also to bring life in all its fullness. And all we need to do to encounter him or to experience him or to know that he is real is just to be open and to explore it for ourselves. I end with these words in Revelation 3 verse 20, which says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. See, what I like about those words, it's manifested in my life. I know it to be a promise. I know it to be true. Open your hearts and then you will see for yourself.